chapter 18 here, if you want to turn there, page 76. This is an account from when Israel were in the wilderness and Moses was overwhelmed with the work of looking after them. Mary, let everyone get to their place and then if you want to read.
If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law.
Sorry, we're starting at verse 13.
Oh, it's at verse
23. Sorry, I sent you the wrong
message. Can you start from 13? Okay. Sorry. Okay. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood round him from the morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as a judge while all these people stand round you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, this is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you and some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them this decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Let them serve as judges for the people at times, but let them bring every difficult case to you. The disciples' cases, they can decide themselves. That will share with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to a father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judge for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Mary. Sorry about the late message to you and getting the wrong verse numbers. Thank you for bearing with that. Well done. We're going to look at a New Testament passage, Acts chapter 6. There you've got the page number 1098. This is the last Sunday session in our series going through consecutive passages in the book of Acts. We're going to look at a topic again next week, but Joel is going to teach us today from this last part of the sequence. And I'm going to read to us from Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. At the end, yeah. So, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open, Joel.
Good morning, everyone. So yeah, my name is Joel. I'm Joel Madur. I'm the assistant minister here. Good to see you all. Let me pray before we have a look at this passage. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus has given a spirit to dwell among us, that we could understand your word in spirit and in truth, and could worship you and adore you in spirit and truth. We thank and praise you for that. Even today, we pray that you would minister to all of us, that you would shine the light of the truth in our hearts, that we would grow in the understanding and knowledge of you. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what are some of the things that can hinder the growth of the church? One thing we might mention is persecution. In some parts of the world, Christians face severe persecution, and that can discourage people from attending church services or openly identifying themselves as followers of Jesus. Another obstacle could be failures or scandals within the church. We see that a lot in the media, of serious moral failures among church leaders or members of the congregation. It can damage church witness and hinder the growth of the church. In today's Bible passage, the early church also faced a problem, and when they dealt with it properly, they experienced further growth. And today's passage is about church growth. If you look at verse 7 in our passage, it says, "So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly." Today's passage is part of the book of Acts. As a church, we have been going through Acts over the past few months. In Acts 1:8, after Jesus' resurrection, he said this to his followers, that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this is what Jesus wanted to do through his followers, to take the word of God out from Jerusalem to the ends of the world. And in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, and the early church believers proclaimed Jesus to outsiders, and about 3,000 new believers were added to the church. Then the apostles healed a man who had been lame from birth. And as this happened, the early church faced opposition. In chapter 3 and 4, two of the apostles, Peter and John, were arrested. They were threatened, and they were asked not to preach the gospel of Jesus. Yet in chapter 4, we see the believers were praying, they were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So the first obstacle, the persecution, did not stop the spread of the word of God. Then there came another obstacle which arose. This time it was not an external persecution, but an internal problem. The church was generous, and the needs of the poor were being met. However, there was a couple in the church who exaggerated the amount that they have given, and they lied to the church. It was kind of a scandal or a problem, a moral failure within the church. And this was a serious problem, but God directly intervened. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 14, we read, "More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers." So there were two problems faced. One was persecution, the other was a moral failure within the church. Now, in today's passage, we face another problem in the church. It's not caused by sin. In fact, it arose because the church was growing. It was a necessary problem that had to be addressed. If it was not handled wisely, it could have threatened the continuous growth of the church. And we'll see how the leaders of the early church dealt with this challenge. And we'll consider today's Bible passage based on two headings. The first one is on the screen, gospel growth requests, prioritizing the ministry of word and prayer. So yeah, growing up in India, I always seen Indian pastors are always busy during the week, during the months and years. They have 101 things to do. And only on a Sunday morning, they will be quickly opening their Bibles to see what to preach. There's nothing to do, it's an Indian problem. But in this passage, we see the apostles deal with things differently. They do have a problem. If you look down at verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So in the previous chapter of Acts, the church was growing and the believers were caring for the poor, including widows. There was no government support at that time, and many widows had no family members to care for them. But the church was taking good care of them. But now, in chapter 6, we see a problem. We see there are two groups of widows who are addressed. There's the Hebraic Jews, but there's also the Hellenistic Jews. So the Hellenistic Jews, they are from a Greek background. They spoke Greek and probably followed some Greek cultural customs. So instead of identifying themselves simply as Christians, divisions along cultural lines had begun to appear in the early church. The Hellenistic Jews felt that their widows were being neglected in their daily distribution of food because they are different to the other Christians. Perhaps it was not intentional. It was simply that the pressure of caring for a rapidly growing church caused this problem, or perhaps there was not enough resources. Now, we are not told exactly what caused the problem, but it was a problem. And the church is meant to display the unity that Christ have brought among all Christians. So whatever race or culture people are from, they should feel loved, valued, and welcomed in a church community. And why is that? Because Jesus is the one who adds people to the church. He loves people from every race and culture. He laid down his life so that you and I might have a honored position among his people. Jesus welcomes every Christian as a son and daughter of God. He shows no favoritism. Therefore, church leaders should seek to ensure that the unity found in Christ is displayed in church life. Church members, too, need to make special efforts to build relationships across cultural differences. At least in today's passage, the members brought the problem to the church leaders instead of starting a separate church for the Hellenistic Jews down the road. That gave the leaders an opportunity to think carefully about how to address the issue. Widows not receiving food was a problem, but the apostles also understand that they themselves being consumed with administering the food distribution would create another problem. So what did they do? If you look down verse 2, they say, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Solving the food issue was a good and necessary thing. It would display the unity that believers have in Christ. But the apostles recognized for them, it would become a distraction from their primary calling. They repeat that in verse 4, Look down verse 4, it says, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Serving tables was good. Promoting unity was good. But the apostles did not want to be distracted from their ministry of word and prayer. Why? Because through the ministry of the word and prayer, God brings growth both outside and within the church. Through the ministry of word and prayer, people from outside the church came to be part of the early church community. Through the ministry of word and prayer, believers within the church grew in maturity. In the previous chapter, we have seen believers were devoted to God and to one another, and they were generous, and the church was able to take care of the poor. How did that happen? It was through the ministry of word and prayer. The apostles preached, but they also prayed. Depending upon God, they saw growth not only in numbers, but also in Christ-likeness in church community. Which is more important, the ministry of word or the ministry of prayer? The apostles, I believe, saw both as essential. One Christian leader used the illustration of a military recruiting officer. He says, the recruiting officer, do not argue about whether it is better for soldiers to have the right leg or the left leg. Soldiers need both. Likewise, the apostles saw both the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer as indispensable. They did not want to neglect them. They wanted to prioritize them. Having priorities means you cannot say yes to everything. That we all understand. Say, suppose a father is invited to have lunch with old school friends on a Saturday afternoon, but at the same time his daughter has a singing performance. He says, I can't do both. By saying yes to his daughter's performance, he's going to say no to the lunch with his friends. He's not saying that lunch with friends is wrong. He's simply saying, I want to prioritize being with my daughter. Likewise, in today's passage, not only the apostles, but the whole church recognized that some people should be set apart to prioritize the ministry of word and prayer. So if you look down, so the apostles bring it to the whole church congregation. And so they say in verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 from among you, are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. In verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group. So it pleased the whole church. The whole church recognized that some people need to be set apart to prioritize the ministry of word and prayer. We do not have apostles today, but the churches can set aside pastors, evangelists, or missionaries, and they can be full-time paid workers to devote themselves to the ministry of word and prayer. Why? Because churches long to see growth. They want people from inside and outside the church to grow in the knowledge of Christ in their response to Him. Of course, there's no hard lines. We all teach in different ways. Christian parents teach their children. We speak from the Bible to friends and neighbors. We encourage one another with God's words. But this passage especially speaks about those whom the church sets apart for full-time paid ministry. They need to devote significant time to studying the scriptures and praying. So preparing Bible talks, teaching in various settings, praying, that's kind of the priority of those who are in full-time ministry. Modern-day church leaders, even in the West, can be expected to do many other good things. Now, churches and communities may ask them to work closely with charities, support food banks, engage in social action, and be involved in community life. Some ministers want to promote campaigns against racism and go on marches in central London, campaigning for different environmental work. Some ministers are gifted and energetic enough to handle many responsibilities while still prioritizing the ministry of word and prayer. But this passage reminds us where the priority lies. Church leaders and church communities should prioritize the ministry of word and prayer. Full-time church staff should do this, but congregations should also prioritize hearing God's word and praying. You know, at Dagenham Parish Church, much of our service revolves around hearing God's word, and even the songs you sing are full of God's words, the teachings from the Bibles as written as songs, but also we pray together. We are able to work through books of the Bible like we go through the book of Acts at the moment, because many believers recognize the value of knowing God's word and sharing it with the family members and others. If people only come to church seeking unusual experiences or emotional feelings, they might not appreciate church leaders who prioritize the ministry of word and prayer. And if you are someone who don't call yourself a Christian, you are very welcome here. No, church provides you opportunities to hear God's word. Jesus said, "I am the truth." His teaching is not merely one opinion among many religious gurus. As you listen to Jesus through the Bible, you are given an opportunity to hear and to decide for yourself whether you want to prioritize the word of God that comes to you, whether you want to not lean on your own understandings and opinions, but to listen to the truth. You may not understand everything immediately, and that's okay. Church gives you an opportunity to pray. You can call directly to God and ask and say to him, "If you're real, can you help me know whether the teachings of Jesus are true?" It also gives you opportunity to pray with others and discuss what you have heard with fellow believers. There are many reasons to come to church, but one reason worth considering if you're not a Christian is to prioritize hearing God's word and to pray. So it is right for church leaders and church communities to prioritize the ministry of word and prayer. But gospel growth also requires every member ministry. And that is what we will see under our second heading. Gospel growth requires every member ministry. So if you can see in this passage, there's quite a few, six of the church people mentioned. So there's in verse 5, there is Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert of Judaism. So because of these church members who were willing to carry out ministry, the church leaders were able to make a stance that they can prioritize word and prayer. In a lot of Indian churches, the churches are run only by the pastor and his wife and children. Partly they have their own reasons. They say if we train others, they might know everything and they might start another church somewhere else with half our congregation. Which are reasons to think about, but in this chapter we see the church leaders are willing to rise up others to ministry. And they call it, so they said it is good to prioritize the ministry of word and prayer, but they did not think it's completely no need to carry out the ministry of waiting on tables in church community. So they put it as waiting on tables, as the apostles put it. It's also a good ministry to be carried out in the church. For if it's carried out well, it'll showcase the unity that is found in Christ and Christian communities. As church communities grow, there's a lot of responsibilities that needs to be carried out. You know, church leaders can't do everything on their own. We saw in the passage that was read kindly by Mary that even in the Old Testament we see that the more and more there is responsibilities, there is need for others to step up on their own and do things, or when they are asked by their leaders to do things. And that helps with the Christian leaders to focus on ministry, on word and prayer. We need people in the church who welcome one another as Christ has welcomed them. We are grateful for those who are in the welcome team, but also for others in the church community who do the great job in making others feel welcomed. Now, I recently saw the church Google reviews. One of the positive comments was about the welcome people received. That is a vital ministry that could be carried out in church. Then we need people to cook for us. Last week we had the church lunch. And one of the strengths of Dagenham Parish Church is so many of us are very willing to cook and be generous for the work of the gospel to happen. And this helps us to spend time together over food and grow in fellowship with one another. There are people who open their homes and are hospitable to others. People help with administration. People help with singing and music. People help with technical support and PowerPoint presentations. People help with building repairs. People help with governance through PCC, the Church Council. People help with finance and admin support. People help with tea and coffee. People help with kids' work and youth work. Children and youth staying back to talk with their friends or play football, help others feel belonged in church, and provides an opportunity to spread God's word to more people and bring gospel growth. Church needs people who are willing to do things for the work of the gospel to spread. Church leaders cannot carry out every member's ministry on their own. But also, Jesus loves us all, and he wants every one of us to play a part in his kingdom building. When we see Jesus face to face, he can assure us that none of our labor will go in vain. Jesus will use it all for gospel growth. So in whatever way possible, we are all called to joyfully get involved in different ministries that is found in church and bring about gospel growth. Every member ministry helps with gospel growth, but today's passage also shows something about choosing leaders for specific roles. In carrying out this ministry of tables, if you see in verse 3, it says, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." They said, "We will turn this responsibility over to them." The early apostles wanted leaders who will be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Like the ministry of the word and prayer, here too we have a combination of 2 equally important things, the Spirit and wisdom. After Jesus ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit on all his followers, so all Christians have the Holy Spirit. But the apostles saw the need to find people who not only had the Spirit, but who by the power of the Holy Spirit were able to make wise choices in accordance with Bible teachings. The context probably demanded that. Perhaps there were already some in the church carrying out food distribution for the widows. But this issue with the Hebraic and Hellenistic Jews arose. In verse 1, we see the Hebraic Hellenistic Jews made a complaint. And in this context, there was a need for someone to oversee this ministry with wisdom. You know, a few weeks ago, I was talking with my school friend in the Netherlands. He told me that something that happened to his son in church. You know, he said the church has organized a Sunday afternoon football match for the kids in the church. He said he sent his son to join the football match. His son was the only Indian boy who joined that day, and the Dutch children from both teams said they don't want to play with an Indian boy, even though his son was not given the opportunity to play. I think sometimes it can be overseen because for some people it's not a big issue. But I think the church leaders overseeing the football match didn't see it as a big issue, because that's something sometimes in cultures can happen. But it's a big issue for my friend's son. He didn't want to go to the church anymore. My friend was thinking of moving to a Tamil church nearby. But I said to him, raise the concern with the church leaders. They might be able to address the issue in future by putting someone who is in charge, who could handle these kind of situations better next time. I think this is exactly the kind of moment that calls for leaders who are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. For some roles in church, there might be a need to for people who are full of Spirit and full of wisdom. Yeah, some decisions are hard to make in certain circumstances, and we make decisions differently across different cultures. We are all failures and sinners. Every Christian is, and none of us make wise decisions all the time. But the more we look at God's word, and the more we seek to communicate well and work closely with church leaders and church communities who spur one another on to good works, we can all be better equipped to be people who are full of the Spirit and of wisdom. People who can serve the church in certain roles for gospel growth, like we see in this passage, like Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch. We can all have a role to play, because the church is a place where every member needs to play a part in ministry. And when people step up to do ministry, we see in verse 7, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Jesus loves us all, and let us love, compel us to contribute in whatever way he calls us to be involved in church growth, whether by prioritizing the ministry of the word and prayer, or by engaging with every member ministry. Let me pray. Lord, let us not be passive gathering of people. Make us an active living body. Use every single one of us according to the unique gifts and talents and passions you have placed within us. Give us a willing heart to serve. Help us to prioritize the things that need to be prioritized. Help us to grow in wisdom so we can be your instruments of gospel growth within the church and also among outsiders. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.